Good morning. I want to welcome everybody. My name is Al. I'm the senior pastor, so I want to add to the welcome that you've already received. My welcome. Thanks for being here today. We're in week number two of a series called Speak Up. And in my line of work, I speak. I speak to a group of people. But one of my recurring nightmares about speaking is that I get up and I show up to speak somewhere, but nobody's here. Like no one has shown up to actually hear what I've got to say. And I can kind of identify with what Blaine Gabbert was going through. Blaine Gabbert is a professional football player. He plays quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And the day before Thanksgiving this past year, he was told by his team, the 49ers, that he needed to make himself available to speak to the media. And so Blaine Gabbert showed up, and we got a picture of him showing up. And there he is on the front row. And if you'll notice, no one was there to hear him speak. And the reason that no one was there to hear him speak is that his team actually forgot to alert the local press that Gabbert was going to be available to speak to them. And so he showed up to speak up, but no one was there. All right? So that's obviously a really bad thing. And I think sometimes that's how we feel when we as believers are trying to share what God has done in our life, like to share with people what God has done for us, and it just seems like no one listens, no one shows up. And we operate out of this fear, out of this this trying to speak out, but no one's listening. And we have to have an audience, obviously. Communication goes two ways. You can speak something, but if someone's not hearing it, it doesn't really matter, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about over the course of today, and that's what this series is really all about, because nobody likes to speak and no one hears them, or at least it seems like that. Like my wife and I, you know, we have to call our kids down for dinner or to take care of their, you know, they left their plate at the table or they left some socks on the floor. Like if we call them and they don't answer, when we speak up and they're not listening, we don't like that. And I don't think anybody likes that in any stretch of life, but especially when it comes to sharing your faith. I mean, we want to know that someone's heard us. And so when we introduce this whole idea about speaking up about your faith, when we talk about it every now and then at church and we encourage you to do it, sometimes we're a little bit reluctant to do it because we're thinking, I've tried, but no one listens. I've tried to speak up, but I don't see anybody making any changes. No one really seems to be taking me up on my invitation to come to church. And it seems like I'm trying to talk about faith with my kids, but they don't listen. They're not listening. There's no changes taking place. Well, if you feel that way, and if you live in that tension, you're in really good company. Because what I want to talk about today is the story of an Old Testament prophet whose name was Ezekiel. Ezekiel had the very same type of obstacle that he was facing because he was going to go speak, but yet no one was going to listen to him, very likely. And so if you look in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, you'll realize that God did not send Ezekiel into an empty press room. He actually sent him to a group of people because God wanted him to speak to them about his word. So in Ezekiel 2, verse 7, listen to what happens. God says to Ezekiel, "You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." So he's already being, you know, given kind of a little bit of a warning that is probably not going to be received very well when you speak up. Like people aren't going to hear you. So Ezekiel's calling and the lessons that we learn from his life are going to be the focus of the message today. But first, I think it might be helpful for you to know a little bit more about Ezekiel. So Ezekiel, he's the one he has a book of the Bible that bears his name. He lived 600 years before Christ, 600 BC, and he was a Jewish man who was living with his people among his family in a settlement in Babylon. Now, Babylon was not the country of his origin. That was not where his home was. He was taken captive along with his people, and he grew up in Babylon. So imagine if the evil, if like Canada was evil, all right? We know that they're not, but imagine that Canada was evil, and they decided to send their evil army, and they're going to take all of us captive, and we're going to have to live not in Ohio, but we're going to have to live in British Columbia, or we're going have to grow up in Toronto, and so you're out of your own element. Well, this is kind of what Ezekiel was doing, except it was not a very comfortable life. But God called him to speak his word to the people that were in captivity. And so for 25 years, the Bible says that Babylon was Ezekiel's home base. And so he keeps speaking and speaking and speaking the word. And for 25 years, he speaks the word of God, and like there's very little change. He speaks the word of God for two and a half decades, and yet there's very little change, very little response to what he's saying. And so that would be very discouraging for me as a pastor to see that, you know, I've been somewhere for 25 years and like no one has responded, no one's accepted Christ, no one has grown in their faith, no one's been baptized. That would be very, very depressing. And I think for us, we face those very same obstacles and challenges when we try to speak up about our faith and it seems like no one is listening. And that could be one of the reasons that you don't even try anymore. It could be one of the reasons, like you're planning on very stealthily to leave your cards on your chair today because you're like, no one's going to listen. No one's going to take my invitation. I've been inviting my friends, my family, my coworkers, my neighbors. I've been inviting them and they're not coming. And so that for you is an obstacle that hopefully we're gonna give you some things to overcome. Now, when we talk about obstacles, what are the obstacles that we often give for not speaking up and talking about our faith and sharing with people that we're a believer? Well, I did a little research in preparation for this talk, and I discovered that there's a professor at a seminary in North Carolina, and he does this, like he compiles this, all of this information, and he's trying to figure out why is it that people who are, you know, maybe going to seminary to become pastors, why are people in his church not sharing their faith? And so he came up with a list of like 11 reasons, and I'm not going to share all of those with you, but I want to share a few of them with you, and they're in no order of importance, but there are some reasons that we often don't speak up about our faith. Number one might be that many people don't know what evangelism really is. You know, when we talk about evangelism, what we're basically doing, the root word, it means to spread the good news, to spread the good news about Jesus. Many people think that evangelism only consists of, oh, I go to a church and I give an offering, and part of that offering that they give will go to, like, Lifeline Christian Mission that sponsors children in Haiti, or, you know, I might send that money to Honduras, or I might send it to Africa. And, you know, we send people on mission trips. That is part of evangelism, but evangelism is whenever we use whatever relationship or avenue we have to tell someone about Jesus. Like to tell someone about what he's done for us, like what difference he's made in our lives. That's what evangelism is. But many people don't look at evangelism that way. That could be one reason that we don't share. Another obstacle to our sharing would be fear. Now, maybe these hit you at a different place, but you know, maybe for many of you, fear is like, this is the one for me. Like, I don't want to share because I'm afraid. I don't know enough. I'm afraid that I might lose a relationship. I'm afraid I'll stop getting invited to birthday parties for my family because, you know, they know I'm a Christian, and so they know that if this conversation turns to religion or whatever, that, you know, they're going to be uncomfortable with me. Or I'm afraid that they're going to reject me. Or I'm afraid that they're going to turn their back on the relationship, and so therefore, we just don't share. We clam up, and those are some of the obstacles that we face. Another one that he listed I think is very relevant is that we don't really know a lot of lost people anyway. Like literally, the longer you become a Christian, you start building around yourself a network of people that believe just like you do. And you become maybe less comfortable with the choices and lifestyles of someone who doesn't know Christ. So you start wanting to be more around more people who believe like you do. And that's easy to think about. However, you see, we are called upon to think about the people that don't know Christ and try to say a good word to them. So think about the people in your life that you know that don't know Christ. I don't mean that they go to a different church or sometimes don't go. I mean people who really say that I have no faith at all. So if you think about those people in your head, if you can't come up with any, that could be a reason that is keeping you from sharing your faith. So here's what I want to say today that I think is very, very important. We are all going to face obstacles to our message, but we must keep speaking. We are going to face obstacles to our message, and sometimes those obstacles are what we do, but we must keep speaking because we are going to see from the story of Ezekiel why that's true and why and how that is possible. So here's what I want you to understand. The question you probably have is, why would I keep speaking up for God when it seems like no one is positively responding to my message, when no one is taking me up on my invitation, no one will come to church with me. Well, how did Ezekiel keep on speaking when he spoke for 25 years and there was like very, very minimal results? Well, the truth of the good news needs to be shared even when it seems like no one is listening and it's not easy. But here's what I believe. If you are, and you and I are convinced that we have the best news in the world, that we have a Savior who can save anyone who will call on His name, then we should be sharing that. But I want to talk about how Ezekiel did that. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up to Ezekiel chapter 2, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7. And we have a God who has charged us with the task of spreading His word. We have a God who has tasked us, who has given us the task, rather, of speaking up. All right, so Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. So this is God. He's the reason God has to tell him to stand up is that God appeared to him, and Ezekiel fell face down in fear and trembling. That's what happens when you come face to face with God. God says, "I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to put my Spirit in you." Okay, so this is what he's doing for Ezekiel. Verse 3. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people," in case I didn't mention that, God says, "they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." So our God is a God of communication. For him, it's important that we speak up, that we use our words. I mean, actions are important, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but words are important as well. So he starts the conversation with Ezekiel, and he starts the conversation with us, and he gives us a challenge. And so here's what I want you to do. Take your message notes and write down these things. First of all, from Ezekiel's example, we are called by God. All of us have this calling from God to speak. And that's why God told Ezekiel, "Stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." Now, Ezekiel had a calling on his life, a special calling on his life, but you see, we have a calling too. We speak because if we've been saved by Jesus, we have a call to speak up about what he's done for us. We are called to speak up. And so he could have come up with any number of communication plans, but God says, "No, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you to speak up. I want you to tell other people about who I am and what I've done for you." That's why we refer to the farewell speech of Jesus that's found in Matthew 28. You know where that is, right? Matthew 28, it's called the Great Commission. So it's not a suggestion. It's this commissioning to say, "You can do this, and I believe in you." So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is what we refer to as the Great Commission. Jesus is giving his farewell speech, as I said. He's ascending to the right hand of the Father, and he says, "Here's what you got to do now. Here's the plan. Here's where you go from here." Matthew 28, verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, this is our call. Not everybody is called to be a vocational pastor or preacher, okay? But some people are. Yet all of us, no matter where we are, if we are engineers or insurance agents, factory workers, lawyers, doctors, housewives, stay-at-home dads, we are called to be ambassadors and emissaries for Jesus. Now, it's nothing that you've never heard before, but it's often good to be reminded of like what our mission is, what our marching orders are, that we're called to share the good news with Jesus. And yet, I think when we speak about Jesus, we have to speak because we're speaking And we've been called to do it. Now, the people that I think are the best equipped at sharing their faith generally would be those who are new converts, like new believers. I mean, new believers are like, I'm so excited, my sins have been forgiven, my life's been restored, like I have this message that I want to send. And so not only that, they operate out of the sense of urgency. You know, you've probably been aware of that. Sometimes when you've found something and you've discovered salvation, you have an urgency that you're going to, I have to speak this. I must speak up. Now, the tendency or the danger, maybe not the tendency, but the danger in that would be that you get too aggressive. Like you become you come on too strong. Like people are like, okay, I get it. You know, you're following Jesus now. It's a little too much for me. And that's just how people are. That's just how people are. But here's what I believe. I don't believe that most of us in this room are guilty of being too aggressive. I think we're actually guilty of being too casual. Like we're just laid back. Like essentially, it's almost like we're secret agents and we've been dropped into our workplace and like we're living this double life. You know, we're answering calls or doing data entry or leading. We're managing a store, and yet nobody knows that we're a Christian. Nobody knows that we have convictions. No one knows that we really follow Jesus because we don't talk about it. Like we avoid it. Like when things, people are speaking up in our workplace, we're not saying anything. So I believe we've gone to the other extreme on that, and I believe that we need to find some middle ground and talk about our faith. We can't have this casual, nonchalant spirit about us. I mean, people need to know what we believe. And you can do it in a way that isn't offensive. You know, a recent study on the American religious landscape kind of depressed me. I actually read it and I was like, man, I think it's true. You see, in this study, adults who were identified with a specific religion were asked whether they saw their religion as the one true faith that would lead to eternal life. And so they were asked, do you believe that? Really how you answer a question like that will determine whether evangelism, telling the good news, is urgent or peripheral. Like it's urgent, you're going to do it, or it's, if I get to it. That's what it will determine. In a stunning revelation, 2/3 of Christians believe that many religions can lead to eternal life, even in spite of the fact of what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Every major world religion, friends, if you investigate them and you look at them, believe that their path is the path to God and that all other religions are to be excluded. Everyone believes that. And see, we believe in what Jesus said, and that is why we believe that how you think about your faith is going to determine whether or not you'll share. But here's what I want you to remember. God has called you to speak up. God has called you to be a witness where you are. You've been given a call and a charge by God, but he hasn't left you alone just with that calling. He's also given you some marching orders, and that leads me to the second thing I want to say to you today. We have a communication from God. I mean, God hasn't just left us to figure all of this out on our own. He's giving us marching orders. That's what we found in Matthew 28. We're to go into the world, we're to reach people with the message of Jesus, and we're to teach them to follow him and take their next step. That's what we're called to do. Now, if you look back at Ezekiel, if you look back at Ezekiel 2 and remember the passage, I find similarities between Ezekiel's calling and ours. God told Ezekiel, and really he tells us, you must speak my words to them. God says, Ezekiel, this isn't for you to figure out on your own and you just kind of chart your own course and do a cut and paste on the best way to find your path to God. No, God says, speak my words to them. Why does God tell you and I to speak his words? Because they're better. God's words are better than yours. God's words are better than mine. You see, we spend all of this time trying to make Christianity palatable. We spend all these times trying to make God seem cool, or that God's, God is this or he's that, trying to make it acceptable. And yet for generation after generation has read the Bible and they've rejected the God of the Bible. You see, we're not speaking our words, we're speaking God's words. We've been given a communication by God. And so I want you to see something today. This is worth turning to if you don't turn to any place else today. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And as you're turning over there, here's what I want you to understand. When you speak, you're not speaking your words, you're speaking God's words. You don't make them up. You didn't create them. You don't have to defend them. You don't have to prove them. All you got to do is speak them. But we're actually promised in the Word of God that when we share the Word of God with other people, you know what happens? God says that eventually a positive response will take place. That is a promise from not from Al, but a promise from God that when we share His message, when we speak the Word of God over our families, over our spouses, over our situation to other people, a positive response will come about eventually. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. God says to Isaiah, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." That's why it's so important to be in the Word, to know the Word, to spend time, to make a habit daily of hearing from God in one way or the other. You see, don't let the threat of opposition prevent you from sharing your faith. Don't let someone's education or intelligence or wealth intimidate you. Because it doesn't matter what position that someone is in, all of us have the same basic spiritual and emotional needs. If someone is smarter than you, richer than you, prettier than you, more powerful than you, they still have the same problems that you do at the core. They still sit up at night wondering about how to keep their kids off of drugs. They still worry and wonder about how they're going to retire and if they have enough money. They worry about keeping their marriage together. They worry if their secrets are going to be discovered. Everybody has the same needs. Don't let that keep you from sharing, but share the Word of God. I believe that right now, our opportunities to speak up are actually better than they've ever been. I actually believe that we can speak up in so many forms, in so many ways today, in so many platforms. I mean, people are looking at our world and they're like, if this is the political field that we have to choose from, our country's in trouble. They're looking at rock stars and athletes who are getting arrested for domestic violence and crimes. And they're thinking, what's happening in our world? You see, we can speak the Word of God. We can speak what the Word of God says. What an opportunity right now for us to speak up. What an opportunity for us to give the words of God to those people. People are willing to listen, and many of them are going to be receptive to the truth. And people are searching for answers that only Christ can give. Only Christ. I don't know if you've ever watched professional golf. I actually like to watch golf on Sunday afternoon so I can take a nap. I'm not a golfer, but if you are, God bless you and great for you. But if you've ever watched professional golf, I have to admit, I am awed by their ability to land a shot from 200 yards away from a hole. I mean, you wonder, how do they judge the distance to the hole with such precision? I mean, do they have this internal GPS that gives them the ability to guess the distances with this uncanny accuracy? Well, not really. What you discover is they have a yardage book. They have a yardage book. It's a book that's a map of every hole on the course that gives them the distances from the various landmarks on the hole to the green. So wouldn't it be nice if we have a yardage book for the tough decisions that we make in life? Oh, wait a minute, we do. But it sits on our shelves and gathers dust. And it's picked up on Sunday morning and brought to church, but then it's put back in its place and not touched or opened the entire week. We have a book. We have a guide. We have a place that we can go to find out what God wants us to do. And that's all we need to do is share the Word of God with people. And that will make a difference. So we're called by God. And He doesn't just leave us. We've been given a communication from God. But then number three, we're not left alone. We are coached by God. We're actually coached by God on what to do. Because God knows that our tendency as human beings is to close our minds to His message. I mean, have you ever come to church, and maybe today's the day, and you're like, you know what, I know what He's going to say, or I kind of, but I'm just not, really not into it today. And you think, I can't see you, but I can. I mean, I can see it on your face. I can see your eye rolls, and I can see you mouthing the words idiot, you know, and stuff. I'm just kidding. I've never seen that. But, I mean, I get it. I get it. I read the Word of God. I'm like, oh, really, God, I don't want to do that. But you see, we're coached by God as to what to expect. That's why God told Ezekiel, look, before you even speak a word, here's what you need to know. They may listen or they may not. They may listen to you or they may not. Four different times, God says, these are rebellious people. They're rebellious. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. We still plug our ears to the Word of God. We still selectively obey what fits us and what we want to do. We still do the very same thing. We still have people that all around us that we're called to love and serve. And they're the same way we are. People that we want to reach, the people with whom we work, with whom we go to school and we live around, those people that we try to reach have a history of not listening. And they're just like us. This can be a challenge if you especially want to see quick results from your speaking and speaking up. But how do you do this? How do you navigate this delicate balance? Well, more than anything, God just wants you to understand the tendency of human beings is to shut him out and to shut our ears. I mean, since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, since they rejected the chance to have eternal communion with God, it's been the same thing with us, and we see it play out in our own lives. God's been speaking up, and human beings have been plugging their ears. Now, to be effective, to be the most effective witness, you do have to speak. There's no doubt about it. You have to use your words. I mean, you have to eventually get to it. I don't think your friend is just going to say, I've been watching your quiet witness, and now I want you to lead me to Jesus right now, and let's go get baptized in the company jacuzzi. They're probably not going to say that, okay? You know what they are going to do, though? When you combine your life that you live and the words that you say, you'll have an effective witness. When people look at your life and they realize, you know what? He's not perfect. She doesn't try to play holier than thou. She realizes that she's a hot mess. He realizes that he's got a long way to go. He's on a journey. If you come from that perspective, from humility, from a place of just being real, to say, you know what? I struggle with these things. People are going to listen to you. And if you expect an overwhelming response every time you speak up, you're going to be disappointed. If you expect that people are going to take you up on your invitation when you hand them that Easter card, you never know what they're going to do. Several years ago, Josh Brainerd and I, a worship pastor, were out putting door hangers on the neighborhood doors around here, inviting people to Christmas Eve services. And so it was a kind of a warmer day for December. And so we're out, we're finishing up some rounds. And so we were out there walking, and I happened to give one of those hangers to a guy who was out at the end of his driveway, and he had his garbage can in one hand, and he had his phone in the other, and he was talking. Now, I don't know if he's really talking, but he's like, oh, these look like some religious guys are coming around, so I need to look busy. But anyway, he took the flyer from us, and like literally when we walked by him, I just kind of glanced back, and dude lifted out of his trash can and threw it right in the trash can. And so I went back there, and I grabbed him by the lapels, and Josh helped me throw him in the... No, I didn't do that. That's what I thought about doing. I was like, really? I mean, but you see, that's the response we will often get. Because people are rebellious, just like us. And we don't judge them, we pray for them. We hope that one day they'll come. We hope that one day they'll be here. And we're going to offer grace and truth, because no matter how good your product is or your presentation is, not everybody's going to buy. Not everybody's going to accept it. So no matter how well you communicate the truth of the gospel, you better anticipate rejection. But here's what you need to understand. You are never alone. You're never alone because God is with you. God is here. God goes with you when you leave this place. And so what I want to do right now is just pray for you as we close out this portion of our service. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and boldness, give us opportunity, help us to see it and seize it. Lord, I pray that we would be bold and brave during what you're calling us to do. God, I pray for our church as we get ready for Easter, that we would be as clay in your hands, that we would let you mold us and shape us into the people that you want us to be and to do the things you want us to do. So we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll guide us through this next portion of the service, and we pray in Christ. Amen.